sermon today, as is stated in the bulletin, is God, Father of all. God, Father of all. A couple of weeks ago, Mr. Davis and I were talking, and we were talking about the conditions in which we find ourselves in this country, in our time, and how we as a church need to address these subjects fearlessly, clearly stating God's position, which ought to be our position, on these things that are plaguing our times and seem to have raised the ugly head in a more sweeping fashion than they might have been in times past. And hold on, I'll speak about it. He said, I think you're eminently qualified to speak on such a subject and to seek to clarify it so that God's people might have a clearer grasp and a better understanding as to where we stand in times like these. Years gone by, the church did not have to deal with LGBT. Today, that is a subject that has to be addressed. A couple of weeks ago, a major bishop in the evangelical system died. He was known, it is alleged, to be a practicer of homosexuality. And the question that's in the air in their community is, did he go to hell as a consequence, or did he go to heaven? These are issues that God's church have to deal with. There are those in God's church who feel they have homosexual tendencies. What are we going to do about them? Can you be a practicing homosexual or lesbian and be a member in good standing in God's church? Many such practices are tormented. That's the way they should come down on this issue. There are some church people who sought to link Jesus Christ to be a little gay. Oh yes, they have. They say that why did he have 12 disciples, all men? Amazing where your thoughts can take us. And where your perversion could end up. There are those who claim Jesus had a wife. Jesus had no wife. Jesus is, nearly said, all man. Jesus was fully man, but Jesus was fully God. He is called the God-man. Jesus came from God the Father to bring to earth the message of God's redemptive plan that human beings can become sons of God, daughters of God as well, if they were to accept Him as Savior and Lord and turn from their wicked ways, no matter what those ways are. That's one of the reasons we're here today. We're here to turn from our wicked ways. Are we turning from our wicked ways. The sad thing is, many are stuck. They started turning, but they halted. They lost the way as to what direction they should go in. Prejudice has no place in the Church of God. Be you white, be you black, be you whatever, prejudice and disdain for others have no room, no place in the Church of God. Oh, yeah, those who are playing church, they claim to be following God, but in their hearts and in their minds and in their practice, they despise others. God has a place for you. And as the sermon had said, there's no need for you to commit the unpardonable sin. This is the time, now is the time to change. If you continue in your way, God will judge you. Of course, he'll judge all of us. But this is the time to change. God, Father of all. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter 17, beginning at verse 24. The setting was that Paul, on one of his missionary journeys, was brought to Athens. And while he was walking around waiting for his next job, he saw an inscription. And the inscription said, "To the unknown God." Paul, whose mind was always working and always thinking what to do next, was asked to speak to the crowd, was asked to say something to this waiting crowd, because these people met every day in this Areopagus, sorry, frankly. And they said they met there to do nothing but to listen and to hear something new. And Paul, in his wisdom and in his submission to God's way of life, said, "I saw your altar to the unknown God, him whom you serve or whom you worship unknowingly, him I want to declare to you. You don't know this God, but I want to make him known to you." Verse 23 begins this dissertation and Paul's attitude to this waiting crowd. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" So you're going to tell this crowd now about the God they don't know. They have their altar to the unknown God, several altars, but this particular one, whom Paul represented, he was going to clarify in their minds what they were talking about with that inscription. Verse 24, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he gives to all life and breath and all things." In other words, God is the creator of all. Who are you to look down on other people because they're different from you? God made us all. We're all the creation of God. Science have come up with your brains, or we came from monkey, or we crawl out of some green slime. No! We are the creators of creation of God. And unless we get that clear in our minds, we continue thinking that, well, other people, I don't know who they are, I don't know where they came from. God is the creator of all, and he gave to all life. And I've made of one blood, this is important. Paul seemed to have touched it all right in this section of scripture. He has made of one blood all men for to dwell upon the face of the earth. All men, all nations. Where did people come from? Where did those funny looking people come from? God made them all. In the world's theology, there's a teaching called the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. It's theological thought. It's pretty expressive as to what's going on. So he says, God made all nations for to dwell on the face of the earth. In other words, people are living on Mars. What about Pluto? No. All man lives on the face of all the earth and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds. God knows what he's doing. And the bounds of their habitation. In our generation, we've seen mass migrations. People from all over the world want to go live somewhere else. I said some months ago that we cannot equate that with the Israelites moving from Egypt to the land of Canaan. God was the one who directed that move, because God has determined where people ought to be. It is not new or strange why Africans live in Africa, Athenians in Athens, Caribbeans in the Caribbean. No matter how they got there, God determined it. You see what's happening in Germany with the mass migration of people to that land. In America, the new president had this idea, we should debar too many from coming here illegally. Anytime then they quote him and say, oh, he doesn't want people to come here. God directed Israel to move from Egypt to Canaan's land. You know who Canaan was? You know who made the races? That's not an accident. That is the plan of God. You are who you are because God made you that way, and you should be proud of who you are, because it's all a plan of Almighty God. God knows what he's doing. If there's any explanation mankind looks forward to eagerly, it's to hear from God. Why you made me white? Why did you make me black? Why am I Chinese? God has the answers. It is for us to let God explain them in his time. But today people aren't willing to listen to God. We have our own theories, our own formulated ideas, and then nothing moves us. We know what we're talking about. We went to school, as a matter of fact. I have a doctorate. I'm bright. I know better than God. And that is the pomposity with which human beings set themselves in and upon. Verse 27. That they should seek the Lord. That's why God placed us in different places. That we should seek the Lord. If haply, perchance, they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. God is not far. There's a scripture that says God is at hand. Reach out and touch him. You can reach out and reach him. Verse 28. For in him we live, who we? Whites only? Chinese only or blacks only? In him we live and move and have our being. We are beings that God created. No matter who we are, God has and always had a plan to human life. As certain also of our poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Hence the subject, God, Father of all. God is the Father of all. So you and I have no right looking down our noses at other people and shunning them and feeling we are superior. No one is better than you. You are no better than any other. We are the creatures of God, and God has a plan for every human life. That's why abortion is such a sin. As the sermon says, no greater sin or lesser sin. Sin is sin. But abortion is particularly heinous because you're destroying the life of a human being. Yes, it is a human being. 6 months, 3 months, or 9 months. It is a human being. And God is Father of all. God has a plan for every human life. Your life. And my life, similarly. Verse 29. For as much then, as we are the... there's another word. The offspring of God. You see the greatness of the mind of Paul? We are the offspring of God. We are the creatures of God. We are emerging from some donkey or horse or sheep. We are the offspring of God. God has had a purpose for man, for your life and for my life. It is for us to come to the place of submission and find out, God, what you want of my life. Remember Saul of Tarsus? An avid persecutor of Christians, those who wanted to follow what is called then the way. And on his way in his cruel mission to Damascus, he was struck by God Almighty. And the voice said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? What you're doing is not persecuting those poor, lowly Christian people. You're persecuting me. When you harm a human being, a child of God, you're seeking to harm God. Same is true when you destroy a human life that's conceived. You're trying to kick against the pricks, as it said in Acts 9. You're striving to break down and disturb God's line of creation. We are the offspring of God. We ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and men's device. Verse 30. And the times of this stupidity, and the word is ignorance, at the time of this stupid belief and understanding, God winked at. He thought it was stupid. But now, commands all men, black men, brown men, white men, Chinese men, all men, because he is their creator. He commands all men, everywhere, no matter the bound of their habitation, to repent. That is the basis of dealing with God, our Creator. We must come to repentance. Repentance, theologically, is defined as godly sorrow for sin. Have you ever been sorry for your sin? Or you defy God? I'm no sinner. I don't have to be. I think they asked Donald Trump that some time ago. Do you pray? Said, what do I have to pray about? In his stupid defiance. You know, we all have some kind of pomposity in us. So, I don't have to confess any sins. He said, I don't know if any sins that I've committed. The stupidity of man rises to high heaven. And no matter how bright we are, God looks down on us and realizes that we are nothing but ignorant human beings that need to be led and guided and guarded and protected and redeemed. That's why he sent Jesus Christ. Verse 31. Acts 17, I believe. Because, why is done all of this? Because he hath appointed a day. Paul understood about the coming judgment. Paul understood that we all have to be made accountable to God for how we've lived. God did not create LGBT. Question is asked once theologically, when someone is cloned, does that one have a soul? Is that one for whom Christ died? All of these are good things to think about. I don't know how you spend your time, do you think? Do you try to decipher? Do you try to understand? Or do you just live like a dog, or a cat, or a bird? La 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 la. We have to think, brethren, why are we here? And what is God doing through me and through you? Where is God going with this? Because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world. God will judge the world. Nobody is getting away. It is up to you. If God is calling you to submit to God's way of life. Because God is going to judge the world. And listen to why. In righteousness. You don't want to be righteous. That's what sissies say. Sissies. I don't want to be righteous. I'm big and burly and brave and strong. I know where I'm going. I don't need God. God will judge the world in righteousness. By that man. Who is that man? The one whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men. God has sought to let all men know that they were judged by the standard of that man, Jesus Christ, God's righteous Son, whom he hath raised from the dead. Verse 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear you again of this matter. They couldn't take that type of information, because that's not our church teaching, you see. We get very defensive very quickly. Well, my church doesn't teach Sabbath. I don't know where you got off with that Sabbath. My church doesn't teach holy days. You people are sick in the head. And we know that God's word reveals his plan of salvation, his plan of redemption through the holy days. Many say, I like the church, but those holy days are for the Jews. Once again, the holy days was never for the Jews. We have that broad concept that everybody in Egypt, before God moved them out of that land, with Jews. Again, we state firmly, fearlessly, accurately, and authoritatively, they were not all Jews. You know the story of the Israelites? The Israelites were not all Jews. The Israelites were descendants of Jacob. And there were 12 sons of Jacob and one daughter. I was asked that. You know the daughter's name? Yeah, you need to know your Bible a little more. Okay. Dinah. But if you follow the story of mankind as revealed in the Bible, science have all sorts of stupid ideas. Jacob had 12 sons, and one of them was called Judah. He was the father of the Jews, the originator of the Jews. In all history, in all understanding of where we came from, we have it wrong. God's word is the truth. And unless you can get to that point of submission, that this is God's word, and I will submit to what God says. You've gone off and been taught all sorts of stupid things. That's why we have to understand God's way of life and submit to the calling of God and submit to what God wants from us and what God is trying to make of us. So in this passage, Paul seemed to have touched on all sorts of stuff. If nothing else, that we are the offspring of God. We are the descendants of God through creation and then through redemption through Jesus Christ. Have you read the book of Luke? Where it gives the story of different families and different people in the earth. And it says, Jesus was the offspring of God. And then it says, Adam was created by God. And then Adam was the son of God. So remember, God is father of all. You and I have no right putting other people of different races down. That is not God's plan for you. And that is not God's plan for other human beings. I mentioned to you that Mr. Davis and I were talking, and I said, you're able and capable. You should attack the subject of some of the things that's happening all day, a long time. LGBT, feminism, where did all of this come from? These things were born in the mind of Satan, and it's not the plan of God with human beings. What is Bruce Jenner? We know that he's made 80% of the change. He's not gone over the line yet. But others, we've heard the age-long question, statement, God did not make Adam and Steve. God made Adam and Eve. And Eve is the mother of all living. Homosexuality and lesbianism is not God's plan. Those are diversions, deviant behavior. That's why the question of the bishop who died a couple of weeks ago, did he go to heaven or did he go to hell? Because his practice was extensively known. And I don't know where you are this morning, what part of the fence you are on. Maybe you're on the fence. God made you whom he made you for a purpose. You have no right messing with God's plan. You might have to answer to him one day for what you've done and what you're doing. That's not condemnation, brethren. That for those of us who've been born of God have had to do. We've had to come to ourselves and face our sin and ask God to forgive us. Maybe you haven't reached that place yet, like Donald Trump. You see, there's nothing to repent of. But unless we get to that place, God cannot change us. We cannot be converted from dirt to divinity. Maybe you're content as a human being. But as they said long ago in the Caribbean, when you're dead, you're done. No. When you're dead, you're going to have to appear before the judgment seat of God to give an account for the deeds done in the body We are not escaping, brethren. Those of us who have been called of God and have come to repentance have come to understand that we have to account for our sin. And we have sought to make it good with God now and not at the judgment seat. You man in your own affairs, you're going to have to tell God why you did what you did and why you did not accept His Son Jesus Christ to be your Savior and your Lord. All men are equal in God's sight. God has no favorites. God calls people today to be a part of His family, not that He's prejudiced, but God is not calling everybody now. I bet you will hear that and say, what do you mean He's not calling everybody now? Because everybody now is not repentant. Some people don't want to hear the name God. They feel they know more than God. They don't need God. They are their own God. That's blasphemous. We are, as Paul said on Mars Hill, the creatures of God. And God is expecting from us a certain set of behaviors. When you come fall short of that, the Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we have to tell God why. Because He has provided a way whereby we can escape. And that way is through His Son, Jesus Christ. So, no one breed or class or species of mankind is better than the other. We're all, across the board, creatures of God. And God expects and would want everyone to repent and come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as His Savior and as His Lord. And you are dodging that. What does Muhammad Ali say? You can run, but you cannot hide. One day we'll have to face God and tell Him what we've done with our lives. Decide to play the fool. Remember David said those words? I played the fool. You might have to tell God that one of these days. Now, God made intentionally the various races. This is not, we're not accidental. We never, I am black. God had a purpose for making you the way you are for His purpose. And in the kingdom of God, we all who repent of our sins and accepted Christ as our Savior, accepted God's salvation, we all be spirit beings. The Bible said we'll have a new body. We'll be having the same body like Jesus Christ had when He was resurrected. Nothing wrong with that. That is simply the truth. It is for us to come to that knowledge. This human life is only temporary. How many of us have stood over the open grave and seen our loved one lowered there? And we wonder, what became of that person? God has them in abeyance until He resurrects them. When that crowd in Mars Hill heard about the resurrection of the dead, they were mad. They were, no, we don't believe that. Who cares what you believe? The truth is the truth. Many of them walked away saying, what would this babbler say? The truth always sounds like babble and confusion to those whom God has not yet called. We ought to thank God that we have an inkling of what God is doing in us. And that we got to that place where we submitted. Mankind is too proud to submit to God he cannot see. But we know He's there. What did Paul say? God who made the world and all the things therein, the world did not come about by happenstance. This is all the plan of God. God made The races. Where did he make the races? Genesis chapter 5 and verse 32 says that Noah had three sons. We've got to understand that God, as he studied in biology, caused there to be a mutation. And it seems, as far as we can understand, that Noah's three sons had this mutant gene in them. I am a descendant of Ham. You see, we don't take time to read the Bible. Genesis chapter 10 has the table of the nations. And each of those three sons, their lineage is mapped out for us in Genesis 10. In Genesis 10, it says that Ham had his lineage. In his lineage were Nineveh. The Ninevites were descendants of Ham. Could they have been black people? If you read the descendants and understand it, you'd find it so to be. When the Israelites had left Egypt and they were going to the land of Canaan, the land of Canaan, the Canaanites similarly were descendants of Ham. They were already occupying the land. God said, that's the land I want you to occupy. God has therefore, as Paul said here in Mars Hill, the ability to determine the bounds of their habitation. And God knew what he was doing. And he led them there. God is the author and founder of the various races. You can contend. But one day God will make it clear to you. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, we read all, not all whites, all blacks, all Chinese, all Portuguese, or whatever, all. Someone said all means all. That's all means. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No matter where you find mankind, they are sinners in the sight of God, meaning the redemption that only God can bring about. So, all man, no matter what its complexion, no matter the texture of his hair, no matter the color of his eyes, all men have sinned against God. Romans 6 and 23 says that the wages of sin is death. All mankind know death. There is not a man or a woman or a person that death has not touched or will touch. We've all lost loved ones. We've all lost people close to us. As you know, I had two sons. They're both dead. Loving sons. Tried to raise them in God's church, and they came for a while and they liked it. One of them was baptized and the other wasn't. But then God would deal with that. All human beings have stood in an open grave and looked down and see a loved one just disappear. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need to understand that. Because God is Father of all. In the Gospels, of the Gospel, the Epistle of John, 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Move to the end. We read it, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear unto us what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even if he is pure. God has promised to all human beings everlasting life. But it comes at the cost of submission to God. And it takes a whole lot out of you and out of me to submit to God whom we cannot see. That gives so many people stumble. I can't see God. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't believe in a God I can't see. And so human beings have gone about to create their own God. Make a God of a stone, a river God. They tell us in some parts of Africa, how authentic it is, I don't know. Because we have a lot of African brethren who may not be able to attest the stories that we've heard coming out of Mother Africa. They said it in some tribe when a woman has twins. The guy who is the high priest of the area said, that's a curse. We cannot have twins. And she, stupidity, ignorance. All men are stupid and ignorant on the outside of God. It's not put down, it's an assessment. She must go and give those two babies to the river God. And he will be satisfied with such a sacrifice. Others have all sorts of other stupid ideas that only God's redemption can clear up. The Bible tells us that times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men, no matter their hue, they must repent if they're going to change the estate for the world tomorrow. Mentioned a while ago about LGBT. Paul didn't have that to deal with, as we know. We have that to deal with. It's not being easy. It's not easy being a Christian today. They have all these confusions and conflicting ideas and beliefs and deviations. Thank God, through God's Spirit, our minds can be spared. We can seek to follow God fully to the best of our understanding and bathe and soothe our minds in the things concerning Himself. It is said that those who indulge in such practices, they cannot get their minds clear. They either go off in the deep end because the perversion was so enormous, so sickening and so sinful that they cannot get their thought clear and clean. Aren't you glad that we've come to the knowledge of God? Because as Paul said on Mars, God has appointed a day and a time in which He will judge the world in righteousness. Not based on your explanation, but God, this is all I understood. But this is what I was made to accept. This is what I believe. Who cares what you believe, God would say. My word stands, and my word stands alone. Well, my church did not teach that. Well, your church was wrong. Nobody wants to hear such condemnatory language. God, who is Father of all, has the right to pass on his information to all minds. And that's why we should not give our minds over to stupid things, because we can become so perverted. We can become so seared with a hot iron that our consciences don't tell us when we're wrong. So, all of sin, all have come short of the glory of God. And that is where God's salvation comes into being. When some of these people who are living these polluted lives, that's not a condemnation. When they, remember that sermon, when he was come to years, when they come to years and realize that they've been sinning against God, that's what conversion does for us now. When we come to God and realize that I'm a sinner, I've been walking outside of God's law, I am condemned. The Bible says you're condemned already. Now you are condemned, but through Jesus Christ we can and have been redeemed, and we can live a different life because of God's salvation. And we offer it to you today as a means of a way out of a life of sin and coming to know God as your personal Savior and Lord. The book of John, I think the sermon that man referred to this earlier on, finally here. John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 44, we've heard this verse many times. Brethren, we need to understand God's Word a lot more. We need to spend time in God's Word so we can understand what God is doing in us and with us and what he wants to do for us. John's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 44, my offered verse. No man can come to me except the Father who sent me draw him. You know that we cannot come to God on our own. Oh, you said many times, oh, I've been seeking God, and thank God I found this church. God directs us. You're here today not because, well, I want to be good and I want to go to that Sabbath-keeping church. God is moving in your mind for a purpose, and he's striving to bring you to the knowledge of the truth. You're not here by accident. But the devil has our minds all screwed up that we cannot think straight. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father, my Father, God himself, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last days. God has got to move in your mind, to open your mind to his way of life. And if he does, you will come to know God's way of life and change your thinking. Many of us just think because of what we heard in school, from our friends, we don't have the mind of God. The mind of God is distributed by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the mind of God. Some of these doctrines we've forgotten, we haven't heard, has not been made clear to us. But as they say in law, ignorance to the law is no excuse. You can't tell God, oh, I didn't know. long study this afternoon in Proverbs. It says in chapter 1 that wisdom cries out in the streets, but people aren't listening. They have those stupid white cords in their ears. That's all they hear. Madonna. Oh, she's like a husband, hasn't she been? She made herself known last week. Said she, many times she's thought of blowing up the White House. I guess she's trying to come back. What a stupid way to come back. Talking stupid things. So, the devil has our minds all screwed up and all tied up and we can't get loose. Remember when Lazarus was called back from the grave? By whom? The giver of life, Jesus Christ himself. The word tells us in John 11, it came staggering out of the tomb, all wrapped and bound in swaddling cloths. And Jesus had to say to them, loose him and let him go. My friend, unless we come to Jesus Christ, we are bound up ourselves. All sorts of, Paul said on Mars, superstitions and stupid ideas handed down from our forefathers who did not know God themselves. Well, how can you say that? My grandmother used to go to church every day. My grandmother did too back in the Caribbean. She took me with her. I used to go to so many different churches as a young man, different Sunday schools, got all sorts of prizes for regular attendance. In those days you went to church barefoot. But you were there. You didn't wear your Sunday clothes to school. What did Paul say on Mars? The times of this ignorance God winked at. But now commands ye all men everywhere to repent. The things of God are not jokes, brethren. They are serious. And we have got to come to understand that God is not making fun. God has given us a long rope. He used to say in the Caribbean, give a man a long rope and he will hang himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. God, Father of all, no matter who you are, what your complexion is, God is your creator. And he longs to be your Father through Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to be the propitiation or the payment for our sins. Here Paul to the Corinthians in chapter 6 and verse 9. First Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Unrighteousness, unrighteous behavior shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you're content with your unrighteousness, though for sure you're not going to be in the kingdom of God. That's not a condemnation. It's an assessment, and it's plain talk, plain truth from God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, unless they are forgiven, nor effeminate. That is like homosexuality. Effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. What could that be? So practices of these iniquitous practices are going to be debarred from the kingdom of God. That's one part of the story, except and until they've had their minds cleaned and washed as Paul goes on to say here, no thieves. Are you a thief? No. No covetous. You covet what other people have. These are the categories Paul is laying out of those who have been debarred from the kingdom of God. Must hasten to say, except you repent and come to know God as Savior and Lord in His Son Jesus Christ. Or drunkards. Some people cannot help but drink themselves drunk. Drunkard. Are you such? Paul is laying it out here clear for us. No matter who you are, what your race is, not drunken, not revelers, that has a wide ambit, nor extortioners, how do you carry on? Somebody crush your toe and you will. Cursing from his head to his toes. They say, abuse him. Neither of these shall inherit the kingdom of God. So twice in this short passage, Paul speaks about inheriting the kingdom of God. Brethren, the kingdom of God is at your disposal. You can inherit it by becoming submissive to God's way of life. And he goes on. And such were some of you. In other words, conversion is coming out of your sinful practice, finding God through Jesus Christ and living a different life. Conversion is you're going this way and you meet Jesus Christ. I'm thinking of Saul of Tarsus. And God's conversion causes you to change and go the other way. You cannot be following God if your practices are the same that they were years ago. There must be a clear line of demarcation. I was, and now I am. Such were some of you, showing that there is a change that takes place when one comes to know God. And unless you understand that, brethren, that's what happened to Saul of Tarsus. He was Saul. He was persecuting God's people. He met Jesus Christ on the way to Damascus, and he was changed. The change had begun. Has there been a change in you since you professed to know Jesus Christ? Do you look at your life and say, you know, I've changed a whole lot. I used to cuss. I used to carry on, but there's a temperament that has changed. I'm a different person now. I haven't cursed in years. Because Jesus Christ and God the Father have washed your mouth with salt. That's what parents used to say. When you say something that is not good, say, wash your mouth, child. And such were some of you. But that blessed conjunction. But you are washed. Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb, that popular song we sang? You washed. Are you different now than you were? Does your family know that you're different? Can you see a difference in you since you made this profession and you changed to a Saturday church? But you're washed. But you're sanctified, set aside. God, Father of all, is setting aside certain people, not because they're so special, but because he has washed them. He is sanctifying them. Sanctify means set aside for holy use. Is God using you for holy use? Or are you cast aside as it has been? But you're sanctified, but you are justified. Justification is the first stage of conversion. You've been justified by God because of your confession of your sin. God has justified you and pronounced you righteous. And some people resent the thought of, I'm not righteous. As though that's a boastful thing to be. I'm not righteous. Of course you are. If you've not been cleansed by Jesus Christ, you're not righteous. Nor are you striving for sanctification, which is going on to a different life. Some of you are living in the same realm you were in 5-10 years ago. That ought not to be, brethren. You ought to be going We promised God as the new year began that we live a different life. We live on a higher plane. We'll be showing more of Jesus Christ in our word, in our behavior. How are you doing? You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the justifier. The Spirit of God is the nigh-ness of God, as I said before. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient or necessary. There are things we should shun. There are things we should deny ourselves of because they're not good. They're not godly. They aren't making me a better person. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And unless we can say that, we see ourselves sliding and slipping and going into a lifestyle that's ungodly. And we continue in that lifestyle. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. Of course you eat meat. Well, sorry for those who are vegetarians. Meat for the belly, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication. God wants us to be married. God wants us to live a life that's right and pure in His sight. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. And you promised the Lord you will be for Him. And the Lord for the body. Verse 14. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by His own power. We cannot resurrect ourselves. It has got to be by the power of God. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Are they? Your body ought to be a part of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the church of God. When we become converted, we are into the body of Christ. That's what it says. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? You can answer that. God forbid, says Paul. That's not possible. What? Know you not? At the third time he asks, know you not? It should be such an evident thing. Know you not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. You ought to be a different person when you profess Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. You ought to be a different something altogether. Because now you are identified with Jesus Christ. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body. But he that commits fornication sins against his own body. Another one. What? In other words, what? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? How could you destroy it with liquor? Or with homosexuality? That's what they said that bishop died from, but it was all bunched up with maybe he had a heart attack or something. It's up to you, brethren, how you want to live. Your body is the temple of God's Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible says, don't let any foul communication out of your mouth. Because your tongue is separate. Your body is separate. You are separate. You are God's by virtue of your profession. The temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, God's Spirit comes to live in us. That's the nucleus of conversion. That's the nucleus of salvation. God's Spirit coming to abide in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. I think it's difficult for people to understand when they become a Christian. You're no longer your own. You don't go where you want to go, where you like to go. There are certain places that are taboo. No, I'm not going there. This is the thing you don't do because you're following Jesus Christ. You're not your own. The wife says, I'm not going to do what he says. I do what I want to do. I make my own money. Is there any wonder that there's so many divorces and so many off-the-track marriages? You come into a union with God and your partner in Christ, not doing what he says. Why did you marry him if you're not going to submit to him? Why did you marry her if you're not going to submit to her? Men don't realize that you have to submit to your wife many times. I'm not submitting to the woman. And right away, your attitudes are off. And you're backtracking from the promise you made to God. You're not your own. And if you cannot be your partner's own, how can you be God's if you don't plan to submit to God? So you bought the price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so Paul ends to the Corinthians, showing there's a change when you come to know God. You're different. And you ought to be monitoring yourself. Am I different? Do I enter every conversation in the office? Do I laugh at some of the off-colored jokes they make there? Is there a difference between me and the other members of the office? Or do I have to get my two pieces in too? God is Father of all. But we've got to get to that place where we submit to God and allow God to rule in our mind. If God is ruling in our mind, we don't need to be LGBT. We don't need to be on Satan's side. We need to be on God's side. And if we submit to God, if we do God's will, if we are striving, and God can see in our weakness, we're still striving to do that which is right. God will extend to us a hand of help. Because God knows we need help in this Christian walk. Not easy. It's a start. But the objective is not heaven. The objective is the kingdom of God. The story of heaven is we'll all get wings. We'll all get new shoes. You wouldn't need shoes in the kingdom of God. When you're spirit beings, you're not going to get wings either. Those teachings were so grossly wrong. But we didn't know any different. We didn't know any better. Jesus Christ is going to come back to this earth to rule and to reign. And he is calling people today and now. When he returns, he'll have a crew to work with. As he establishes and brings about his kingdom reign on the earth. Are you in? This is the opportunity. This is the time to submit to God and permit your life to be guided by God so that when Christ returns, we'll hear those fantastic words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. How are you doing?